All right, let's open our Bibles. God willing, we'll finish up 1 John this evening. We're in chapter 5. And I pray that this has encouraged you. I think we're going to get into some verses tonight that I hope will just have you soaring. God help you if you're not. But this is just some wonderful stuff. I think as you witness to people, as God gives you the privilege to tell people about His Son, what a wonderful amount of Scripture and truth and love that you can give someone, and especially out of this 1 John, but especially out of this fifth chapter. We left off in the ninth verse, and let's go ahead and pick it up there. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. It's all about Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. It's all about Jesus Christ. And once you step away from that, the Father's not going to be pleased. He's not going to acknowledge it. He's not going to be part of that. It's all put in His Son, in whom all the fullness of God dwells. And we're so thankful for that. I am just grateful. You hear me say it often. I am so thankful for the simplicity that is in Christ. It is. It's put in one place. It's all there. It's all there for us. And I'm grateful to God that when I go to God, when I go to the Father, I go to the Son. I go to my wonderful Jesus, my Savior, and I say, Lord, in Jesus' name. And right there we've entered into the throne room. I got the presence. I've got the attention of heaven. In the name of Jesus, all of heaven takes note. I'm confident that the Word of God tells us that. That they're paying attention by His grace to that wonderful name of Jesus. It's all in that name. And it ties back so sweetly. And there's so many places that we could go in this. But this ties back to John chapter 8. In verse 17 and 18 of John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking there to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees have a law at this time that they've established about the men, the witness of two men, or sufficient witness, is true. And so Jesus says to them, well, I have the witness of two as well. I have the witness of the Father, and I have the witness of Me. And he that has seen Me has seen the Father. And praise God that we know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And I am just so thankful that that we know that, that He is the Christ. And I'm so thankful that I have seen my Lord. And I have seen God because I've seen the Christ. I've seen Him in my heart. I see Him in the Scriptures. And in that, He's taken me to that place where I have a vision. And I have a vision of Him and I have a vision of His Father. And it's again so clearly stated as we go on to verse 10. It says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, or that record means the prophecy of God, that God gave of His Son. If you have Jesus Christ, you got life. Aren't you grateful you have life? I live. And I'm living every day more abundantly because of the Lord. And it's so grateful to God, my life, because of the abundance that's in the Lord. And you can never exhaust it. It's just like we talk about by His grace. It gets better. And it just does. People come in here and I said, well, you just need to be patient. It will get better. As you continue to trust God, it gets better. I'm not talking about that you're going to be increased with wealth, or you're going to have a bigger house, or it might even go the absolute opposite way. But you'll have joy, and you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you'll be so thankful that you did. You'll be thankful that you went with God. There is a great glory that He bestows on us. And as we have the life of Christ, it's just plain fact. We know it. You just know. I think how many times we've heard, you know. I'm so thankful that I do know. I know Him. And God has given me that ability to know Him. And the reason that we have the ability to know Jesus is that's exactly what believing God's Word does. You just know. Because He gives you that knowledge. It's just fact. It's not, I have a burning, I've heard that so many different times. Oh, I've got a burning feeling in my chest. And I think, well, that might be heartburn. I don't know what that might be. I don't have a burning of anything except, praise God, the fervency of the love of God. And it's not a feeling. It's faith. It's faith, brothers and sisters, and that's what gets you through. It's that faith, and praise God, we understand that that's how that faith works. It works in the love of God. And when we love God, when we truly love the Word, faith will increase in your life. It'll be in action. It'll be effective. It'll work in you because you believe it. Not because I feel it. Because a lot of times, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to feel a thing. You might not feel anything. You might feel that feelings completely left you. But I'm going to tell you, that's when faith really needs to take hold. And that's when faith will grow in your life. Because you're completely dependent, not upon your excitement level, not who you've joined hands with or anything of that, but what the Word of God says. And He'll bring you those things. Shoot, He gave us a wonderful body. And I'm thankful for the sensations or feelings or whatever you want to say that He gives me in this body. But I'm thankful to God that it's the sensations or feelings that He brings about because of the love and the faith and the grace of God that's working in my life, because I know that those are the godly emotions that He's bottling up, that He's building up in my life. And that's so different than something that I'm going by how I feel. Do I feel good today? Well, that's great. I feel good, so I'm going to praise God. But I don't feel good today, so I'm not going to praise God. And I know people that are like that. I understand that there's Christians that can be up and down in that way. And I understand there could be things that are health. There could be biological things and all of that. But you know what? I know He knows. And I know He's able. So you know what? I'm going to commit it to Him. And you know what? Nothing's hard for God. And in that wonderful Jesus Christ, I know that we're more than conquerors. Because of His love. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? So, I know who I am through Christ. I know I'm a son of God. I know I live because of His blood. I know that that is my witness. And I'm satisfied with that. I don't need to be anything else. I appreciate, as Brother Paul said, I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that precious? That's what you need to know. And you grow in that. I'm so grateful. There was a sister here that witnessed the other day, and she was witnessing to somebody, and she told him about Jesus, and immediately that person said to him, "Well, you must not be educated." Well, thank God. If that's what it takes, I'm not educated. I don't know how you want me to say that, but I guess by the standards of this world, I am very educated. But I'm thankful to God that never got in the way of loving Him. And that's what the Lord can do. So we know that that is our witness, is that wonderful love. Now, on the other hand, brothers and sisters, if you reject the Son, you reject the Father. Do you see how clear and simple this is? I love this book. You can't get around it. And I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture. There's no other way. I mean, I know we know that, but it's just that fact upon fact. But what it is it's His wonderful blood. It's the Word of God. And I'm so grateful to Him that He makes it so clear and plain that if you reject the Son, you reject the Father. Now, as we were speaking of, and we understand, the reason that John is so encouraged of the Holy Spirit to write this is there were these Gnostics that were running around at this time. And there's Gnostics that are running around today. And what those people do, and they really are devils, they claim that Jesus was not the divine one. They say that Jesus was a good man. They say that Jesus was a teacher. That Jesus was a prophet. That there are many ways. That there are many faiths. That Jesus was not God in the flesh. That's what they say. And I've talked to many of people like that. I can give you religion upon religion upon religion today that will say those exact things that take the divinity away. When we know that that's, if there is divinity, which there is, and the only divinity there ever is, lies right there, and that's it. And praise be to God, in His truth, it makes it absolutely clear that without the Son, you can never approach God. You can never approach God. You are not accepted. Your prayers that you think that you are praying, and so many people think, well, I'm going to say prayers. Well, the only prayer that I know is in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the only prayer that God knows is in the name of His Son. And it's time, brothers and sisters, that we do make a stand. And a stand in love, but a stand no less. That if you're going to pray for me, pray in the name of Jesus, or please don't bother. Because God didn't hear you, nor is He going to acknowledge anything of it. And if anything, it's an absolute abomination that you think that you can even remotely get to God without going in the name of His Son. Now you think about this. This is God who gave His Son, who they tore and they ripped and they spat upon, who died for you, died for all man, and became sin, who knew no sin. And yet you in your goodness, and that's exactly what you think it is. Well, I'm going to pray for you. I'm talking about the prayers that they think that they don't have to acknowledge Jesus. That's self-righteousness. And know it. That's self-righteousness to think that I can approach the Father without the Son. God help you. Filthy rags. Waste. Refuge. If you want to talk about the levels of sin, you start right there. Your dirty self-righteousness. So, I'm thankful for John 5. How about you? I glory in this. I'm so grateful to Him. It's been a real refreshing to my wonderful heart. Praise God. So without the Son, we know that we can't approach the Father. Verse 11 and 12. And this is the record. And this is it. This is the fact. This is the prophecy. This is God's Word. This is the only thing that there is. The only thing that will ever remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God, it's forever. It's forever and ever and ever. And this is the record that God hath given us, to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Praise the Lord. So very much here, life is in one place. It's in His Son. And it's the only life that there is. And that life is in His Son. And without the life of His Son in you, you're dead. You're dead. You are walking dead. Now I know that that's not popular today, brothers and sisters. It wasn't very popular back then. People don't like you saying that. It's the name above every name. But it's the one name that they've taken out of everything. We'll let you say God, we'll let you say Lord, but boy, don't you say that Jesus. Don't. It makes us cringe. Sure it does. It pricks you to the heart. It cuts you. Makes you gnash on your teeth. And you know it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of His name. Thank God that every opportunity that we can have to profess His name, that by His grace may we take it. But this is the stand that the children of God must take. And that's who He's speaking to here in a lot of ways. We understand that. Little children. It's the stand that we must take if we're ever really going to become the mature sons of God. Because it's truth. It's the truth. And do we stand for the truth? I do believe we do. But brothers and sisters, as we go out into the world each day, as we go to work, as we go in, be ready and prepared to give every man an answer. When God opens that door and the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, don't quench it. Don't stop it. Be a vessel that's willing to give out the Word of God. Don't be afraid. Don't. If you suffer for Christ's sake, happy are ye. Are you happy? I hope we're a happy people. I know there's a lot of burdens and trials going on out there. But happy are ye if you're in the will of God. Oh, happy are ye. You're blessed, privileged. Brother Paul was still rejoicing in that old prison when he said, "Oh, all in Asia have forsaken me. Happy am I. By His grace, I'm in the will of God. I'm standing and withstanding. Having done all, I'm standing. I'm standing so much, I'm about getting ready to write. I'm ready to be offered." Isn't that wonderful? What do you think? You think that's offered to you tonight? I hope you know it. That's yours. That's the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we're here. I'm thankful for my salvation. But praise be to God, He showed me a thing, complete salvation. And I'm looking to be saved right out of this world at any moment. Ready to take flight right into His arms. So, by the grace of God, may we just rejoice in that this evening. All right, verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." See, this is written to you because you believe on the name of the Son of God. This isn't just Bible literature. That wasn't written to those that approach it that way. This is written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And how I love to know that. Praise God that this is written to us and that we know this. And how do we know? How do we know this, and what do we know? We know it because of Jesus Christ and the life that He gave us. But what we do know is we have eternal life. We have His very own life. It's not just some eternal life, it's His life. And that's the only eternal life there is. It's the I Am, the Alpha and Omega life. Have you ever really sat and pondered and worshipped and thanked God for the very life of Christ that He has given you? I've got His life. Praise God, He gave that to me. Gave that to you. His blood, His divine nature, the incorruptible seed. And that's who we are. And you notice what it says, is it's so sweetly. It's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Wake up with the name of Jesus. Go through the day with the name of Jesus. Put your head on that pillow in the name of Jesus. You find yourself praising Him more and more all the time. Just thanking Him, saying, "Jesus, thank You. Thank You that I know You, that You're with me, that You never leave me, that in all of my unfaithfulness, You abide faithful." Man, I love You. I can't tell you how I love You, Lord. Because You love me. Thank You, Jesus. And how I love that name. I love to say the name Jesus. I love to claim the name Jesus. I love to rejoice in the name of Jesus. Someday by His grace, I hope that it's written on me, "Bridegroom," the name Jesus. See, it doesn't stop, does it? Hallelujah. That name, that all-powerful name. You could never praise it enough. You could never use it in worship and honor and glory and thanks enough. The name of Jesus. It's just calming. It's peace. Because that's the only peace there is. It's love. It's joy. It's the thanksgiving. It's everything. And as you come into that worship, brothers and sisters, as we come in fully and boldly to the throne of grace. And that's how we get there. It's in the name of Jesus. And that's what God wants us to do. He said, "Here's my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Couldn't even tell you the words to express how pleased I am in Him. And because of His life, now I have many sons. And I want to please Him. And I please Him by believing and giving praise and honor and glory and thanks to my Jesus. Yes. Verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Isn't that wonderful? And the will of God is not some mysterious thing, brothers and sisters. It's right here. Just right here. According to His will. Lord, help my home. Lord, help me to be the godly husband You want me to be. Help me to be the godly dad You want me to be. Help me to be the pastor You want me to be. Is that praying according to God's will? You know it. You see how simple God's will is? Lord, grow me up in the grace and knowledge of You. Lord, help me to be patient to receive these before-ordained trials. Those are the good works. That I should walk in them. That I can glory when I'm despised of man. That I can glory when I'm rejected of my friends and familiar family. Is that praying in the will of God? You know it is. All right. Absolute confidence, brothers and sisters. Nothing wavering. Are you that confident as you go? Now do you understand when David said, "Oh, enlarge my steps." I love that. He knew where he was. They talk about zones in athletics. Man, he was in the zone. He was hitting everything. I used to love to hear about Michael Jordan when he'd talk about that rim. Couldn't just fit two basketballs in it. You could fit about 15 or 20 when he was in the zone. That's where God wants us, in His zone. The zone of absolute confidence in His love. Not any confidence in that I was good, that there's a reason I'm here because of me. It's because of His love. And that's it. I'm accepted. Not just invited, but wanted, desired to come boldly to that throne of grace. To ask Him to bring the petitions that He's given. And to know by the grace of God, there's no mystery here. This is Your will. Put this into my life, Lord. And it's there for us, brothers and sisters. Nothing to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. And we can ask anything in there. Sure, you can ask anything. But what He's specifically saying here, asking according to my will. Who's He talking to here? Little children. Okay, little children like to ask anything, don't they? Hey, can I have that? Can I have this? They don't know what they ask for. Need to grow up. I want to ask according to His will. And God can give us that. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's about maturing. Maturing in the knowledge and the grace and the wisdom. And as I was thinking about this, children typically think about themselves. They think about their gratification. I love to watch the kids around here. Maybe we spoil them a little too much. But after the amen, they're running over there to Candyman. And I love to watch them get the candy, and that's fine. But they're not thinking about anything else. It's about them, about mine. And then you have to figure out, my poor brother over there, how to keep him just to one piece of candy. But usually it's two or three. But that's what growing up is. And the growing up example that we have of the very mature Son of God is the Son of God. And His life was, "Father, Thy will be done." And that's the life that He can, that He's put in us. But it's the life that can grow and develop in our lives. That we truly can say, "Lord, Thy will be done. You know I want these things in my life. You know I have these desires and these needs and these wants. But God, it's Thy will be done. I believe that there is the great grace that can cause my heart to call to You, even in these situations that I might want to see different. Lord, I pray this prayer, but let it be according to Your will. Let Your way, let Your will, let Your wants be in my heart." And I believe God can give us that. God's doing that in my life. And He's doing it more and more, and I'm so grateful to Him to be able to say that to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Someday we get into that kind of a heart state with the Lord. You think we might be able to utter the words too? "Hey, I'm ready to be offered." The time of my departure is at hand. Praise be to God. That wasn't just for Brother Paul. He said there was a crown for those also that are loving His appearing. It's time to get bold in the love of God. Not in your ability, but how much He loves you. And He gave us this, brothers and sisters, to truly have that departure-ready life that, Lord, I'm loving Your appearing. And if it be Thy will, let's let it be tonight. Amen. So there is something that's pleasing about this. And I believe it becomes pleasing in your life. It becomes pleasing in your heart. That's only what the grace of God can do. It makes us willing to will and to do of His good pleasure. It makes us willing for that to happen in our lives. You call it conviction. You can call it a lot of different things. But it's really the love of God that attracts us and causes us to want to come to Him and want to say, you know, Lord, these desires that I've had in my life, these things that I thought I had to have, and this man that was never going to change, I sometimes look over there at him and I say, I'm not that man. I'm not that guy. And praise the Lord how He continues to deliver me and deliver me and deliver me. And that's who this Jesus is to you. And I'm so grateful to Him that, you know, I can watch this transformation happen from glory to glory to glory, even to His very image. Thy will be done. Do we want God's best? I hope we do. And I'm going to tell you, God's best will never be found in my natural desires. Did you know that? They'll never be found in my natural desires. They're only in the heavenly desires that He puts in us. I can't try to conjure them up. I can't try to be that way. It's just got to be the grace of God. And you know what the beautiful thing is? He's already given us that life. You already have that. Now all He's asked you to do is yield to it. And I'll tell you, He can give you the ability to yield. Praise the Lord. All right, 15. And this is so sweet. And if we know that He hear us, so this is hearing these petitions that we bring to Him, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we know that He hears us. And in knowing that, I know that I have pleasing requests because I've surrendered my heart to God. See, when I'm going to be stubborn, Brother Hill would say so many times, break up the fallow ground. If I'm going to go up there with fallow ground and have a hardened heart, there's nothing surrendered there. I'm going to be clinging and clutching to my desires. God, I've got to have it this way. Well, you know what? He'll allow it to be that way if you're going to do it. But that's not going to be God's perfect will. There's things you think you're praying into your life. God will never force you. You'll just, as my aunt said a long time ago, you'll just wish you had. A lot of wasted time, a lot of heartache. Oh, but I thought I needed her. Uh-oh. Let me tell you something. God knows. You don't. Peter finally realized it, didn't he? Lord, Thou knowest. And in His knowledge, which is right here again, then I know. That's the knowledge that Christ gives us. That's His mind, the very mind of Christ. Let it be in you. Let this word be in you. You like that cattle sitting under the tree, that cow that just masticates, chews the cud, gets it down a little bit. As Brother Hill used to say so eloquently, burps it right back up. Chews it again. Oh, it tasted even better that time. Come on now. Sweet to the mouth, but a little bitter to the stomach, huh? Yeah. How far are we willing to go with it? I believe we're here on a Wednesday night. Boy, do we got hope. You got great hope. Hallelujah. And He's encouraging you to abound in what He's given you. Abounding in what He's given you. God, I haven't gone far enough. Oh, but brother, you have. Oh, no, I haven't. He still got me here drawing breath. There's more love. There's more love. Hallelujah. There's more faith. Lord, I want to believe You more. I want to believe You more. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. Well, some ask, why I talk so much about the perfect will of God. Well, I do want His best. I do. It's just His grace. I know that the Word of God tells me there's the good, there's the acceptable, and there's the perfect will of God. But in that same section of Scripture, it talks about the renewing of my mind. It's talking about the mind of Christ coming in to dwell in my life. And He wants that for His people. So that we're not a people of fear. We're not a people of doubt. We're not a people of confusion. We know. I love this text. We know. There's such a rest in knowing. I was thinking of my little boy this week. And he's not here, so I talk about him. But so proud of him. He's just working so hard. He's got an older brother that it seems like school's a little bit easier for him than little brother. So he's always had to kind of work hard, you know. And he took a math test at the beginning of the year, and they put him even in a higher math. So he's all excited about it. Well, he didn't realize how hard it was going to be. So he's working awfully hard and awfully hard. And every single night, I can't imagine that homework that little guy has. And he works diligently on it. And I don't want to tell him this, it's math that his daddy can't do. And it really, I can't do it. But he keeps going at it and going at it. And I knew he'd struggle. And he'd just struggle with it. And, you know, he's right there on that borderline between an A and a B. This is a kid that's always gotten A's. It's just so hard for him. But I said, no, honey, just do your best. He said, oh, Dad, you always want me to get A's. Well, I think you can. I think that's a wonderful thing. But this is a new challenge. Do your best. And so he's right there and everything. Well, this last week, I saw a smile on his face as he was doing his math. It wasn't that, you know, like somebody was standing on his feet and on his hands, and it was just hard for him. And I said, what's going on? He says, I got it. I know it. Dad, I know this. And Daddy was just studying about knowing the Lord. And it just sent chills up and down my spine, just like there are right now. See, he knew it. There was a peace. It was just, I got it. Got it. But this is more than just getting math. This is knowing that he's got it. It's all okay. It's fine. It's good. It's good. And don't you let that devil tell you anything but. He's going to try to tell you all the time. He's going to try to whisper all of his lies to you. All of that derision and all of those different things. But he's a non-event. He really is. He's defeated. He's done. He's finished. Days completely numbered. Okay? Because we know. See, that knowledge just took him out right there. I know to say, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb, Satan. You don't like to remember the cross, do you? I sure do. Praise God. All right. See how we can rejoice in that. And it is the Lord's work here, brothers and sisters. I've come to realize that so much that we're His workmanship. That He is the divine creator. That the Holy Spirit's got a wonderful masterpiece going on here. So the Lord had me meditating today. I was thinking, you know, we have this calendar that has the different pictures of Italy on it. And I've never been to Italy. I'd like to go there someday if the Lord allow. But if not, they hadn't seen nothing yet anyways where I'm going. But if I do get us to go, that's wonderful. I hear Brother Hill talk about all those different artworks, and especially the David. So I was thinking about the masterpiece. And, you know, if you were standing around there when old Michelangelo making that David, I wouldn't have got up to him and said, you know, I think the nose is a little bit off. You see, you're laughing, right? I mean, that was the master. If there ever was a master sculptor, that was the man, right? I think pretty much everybody would agree. Now, how much more with God? This is His work. I don't want you touching it. And I certainly don't want me touching it. He's the master. It's His masterpiece. And His masterpiece is formed one way, and that's grace. And grace alone. And He's got this going on right now, brothers and sisters. And that's what He wants us to know, is that. All right, moving on to 16 and 17. And I ask you to stay with me on this, because these next couple verses people can get a little bit confused on. But the Holy Spirit reveals this. And there's simplicity in the gospel. And I believe by His grace He'll bring this forward this evening. So let's go ahead and read 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. All right? Now, before we go on, we're going to have to read 18. All right? So let's read verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it was just taken care of? Taken care of. So when people talk about sin, I said, sin's not your problem. That's already been taken care of. Unbelief is your problem. But sin's not your problem. That's already been taken care of. Amen? Oh, I hope you believe it. That's what He's done for us. Praise God. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. All right. So now we can go back to 16 and 17. And we'll talk a little bit about the sin which is not unto death and a sin which is unto death. So I'm going to ask you a question here. Can a Christian sin unto death? No. A Christian cannot sin unto death, because we just read, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He that believeth in me shall never die. Amen? Amen. So we're justified. And even though it says here in the 18th verse, or the 17th verse, it says all unrighteousness is sin. And even though the Word of God tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, any sin I ever commit will never be to death, because I've got eternal life. Do you see why we just read the whole thing in context? And it all comes together. And God is showing us that, know who you are in Christ Jesus. He's given you His life. You believe in Him, you don't even commit sin. Because that's not you. My goodness. My goodness. Now, this is where we're going to have faith and understand that His Word is true. And what He says in His Word is that there is a sin unto death. All right? So what is this sin unto death? Well, I think that story in Acts 5 of Ananias and Sapphira, those were the two that held back from God. They were supposed to give all that they had there, and they held back. And they lied to the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful type of a feigned obedience to God. It's a type of the goat nations in the millennium. You know, there's going to be people said everybody's going to be bowing down and acknowledging the Lord in the millennium. But at the end of the millennium, there's still people that rise up that Satan fools, because they had a feigned obedience. It was fake. It wasn't real. It was just, I'm getting in line, but I'm really not acknowledging you as Savior. Well, when it comes to that, brothers and sisters, what you've stepped into when you deny Christ, when you deny His divinity, as the Gnostics did, you've stepped into the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. You reject Christ Jesus as Savior. The dealing of the Holy Ghost upon your life, when it comes to that time of accountability where you have been convicted and God has come, and the Holy Spirit is there telling you, receive the Son of God. And you deny that. You deny that. That blasphemy to say, I don't want that. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. And that's what you do when you deny Jesus Christ as Savior. You make a decision. You stop it. God wants you to have it. You're the one that puts on the brake. That says, no, I'm not going to have this. This is this rejection that these Gnostics of the divine Jesus. They had religion. They had rules. They had maybe natural goodness. But without the blood of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, it is death. And any sin, think of this, any sin without the blood of Jesus sticks. And if any sin sticks, you're dead. Because God cannot accept sin in any degree. He can't look upon it. And that's the wonderful thing about the blood of Jesus. It washed away all your sin. And this is what this is getting at, is this sin unto death, is this departure, this complete rejection of Christ as Savior. And where it says there that I do not say that he shall pray for it, you think about this. I can pray for a sinner to come to Jesus Christ. I think we all pray for people, don't we? Don't you have friends and loved ones that don't know Jesus as Savior, that have rejected him for a long time, that you're praying that they would come to a knowledge of him? Sure you do. But do you pray for their sins? You're wasting your time. Because their sins stick. I can't pray for their sin. That'll be taken care of when they come to Christ Jesus. Do you see the difference? And that's what the blood of Jesus does. And that's this wonderful Lord that we have that has washed away all of our sin. There's another real layer in here that I'd like to just mention. Christians can be, though, virtually spiritually dead. Hebrews 12:1 tells us very clearly, and many of you know that verse. You can turn there or you can just mark it. But it talks about the sin that so easily besets us. We talked about it a little bit earlier. It's our unbelief. We get overtaken by unbelief. If we get overtaken by unbelief, we're not going to finish the course with joy. We're not. We need the perfect love of God to reign in our lives, brothers and sisters. And that's what He wants. That's what He's looking for. This is the keeping Himself that it talks about in verse 18. That's the choice of yielding to God. That's the choice of going from a little child to becoming the mature Son of God. Lord, I surrender. I yield to you to build this in me. I want you to build me up by the grace of God, to build your life in me, to allow me to grow up into you in all things. This is the full overcomer, brothers and sisters, who allows the grace of God, who allows the grace of God to not allow sin to rule and reign in their life. It's not you that chooses not to have sin rule and reign in your life. It's the grace of God. And that's what does it. And understanding that that grace is so sufficient, that grace is so abundant, that it does it. That, Lord, you've got that wonderful deliverance from me. It's right there. The victory is at hand. The victory's already been won. Praise God. I know that I am more than a conqueror through you, Jesus Christ. You love me. You gave your life for me. And you gave your life and you put it in me. And now by the wonderful Holy Spirit coming in, hallelujah, and giving me the very power of your might, Lord, you can do all things. You can do all things because you are the power, you are the strength. And I go right back to the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've been so thankful lately to pray for people in the name of Jesus. It's just flooding my soul. Putting those hands that God has given us on them. Anointing them with oil. Knowing that the Holy Ghost is there. Knowing that those gifts, oh hallelujah, they keep on giving. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, take that with you tonight, brothers and sisters. Because I know that there's still trials here for us. And it's in the name of Jesus that the victory is already there. The way of escape, it's in the name of Jesus. It's not a different way each time. There's but one way. And that escape is always one way. And it's in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. Let's listen to this. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That we sure wouldn't get popular stating that verse to too many people, would you now? I just remember this, and I appreciate how zealous people get of the things of God as they come into this place. Hadn't received the depths of the truth. Man, why don't you get out there and put it on this and put it on that? I mean, everybody should have this. Well, you're right, everybody should. Problem is, very few people want it. Very few people want it. Love for it to be all out there for everybody. But see, this God's work. He's going to do what He wants. And I'm so thankful. I love to hear that. Because you know what? It's not too long where they grow up and they say, I understand. I understand. He's got to draw them, doesn't He? Didn't He have to draw you? Yeah, but He saw your heart in ages past. Oh, yes, He did. And if you were the only one, He would have said, it's worth it, son. Go on and get them. Isn't that precious? That's how much He loves us. But here we go. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Boy, we need to be attentive to this, because no matter how good it appears, without Christ, no matter how good it appears, listen to this. Without Christ, it's wickedness to God. It's absolute wickedness to God. Whether I would take everything that I had and I sold it and I gave everything to the poor. Right? Amen. Come on, this is the Word of God. Whether I had the faith to move mountains, whether I could get up here and give you the floweriest speech and could talk with the silverest of tongue. If I don't have Christ Jesus, because that's the love of God, it profits me nothing. Zip. I missed it. And that's the thing that we really, by the grace of God, need to know. And we're talking about this stand right now. We're talking about the stand of the full overcomer. That we're not swayed and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Right? That we're not unstable. That we're not a house that's divided against itself. That we believe because we're with this group of people. But when we get out with these group of people, we'll be whatever they want to be. Huh? Brothers and sisters, we need to have a conviction that this word is true. Amen. And not just in these walls, but by the grace of God, that this is His temple. This is His temple. I love that. And He dwells here. And He dwells here. And I, by the grace of God, want Him to rule and reign in here. And that's what it's about. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Let me tell you something. You are so special. And no, you're not down at the Denver Auditorium listening to one of those positive motivational speakers. You are so special because of Jesus. And that's it. That is absolutely it. And you'll never know how special you are, because it's going to take the eternities to come to show forth the exceeding riches of His grace which He put in you. That just blows me away. You talk about wealth. You talk about the wealth of what we know in God, that His Son hath come, given us understanding to know Him that is true. And you think again, the word know, as we wrap this up of the 1 John. This is the intimate knowledge between a man and a wife. That's what it is. And the Holy Spirit brings it in. And we enter into that fellowship room. We enter into that knowledge of Him. The Holy Spirit has given us that, to know Jesus Christ. That I am in Christ. That I'm one with Christ. That I'm forever in His life. That there is no way that I can ever be separated from His love. And now in that, it's time to fully grow up into the love of God, into Him in all things. And as you read this wonderful chapter, you'd think, okay, praise God, You've ended it. That's wonderful. I'm excited about You, Jesus. I understand You want me to grow up into the very fullness of God. Hallelujah. putting it right in my life. But then yet there's verse 21. And if you ever saw in the Word of God a more abrupt ending to a book, I would like you to point this out to me. Because it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful, and you're just sitting here and it's like, oh, we've won, we've come across the line, and it's glory, and I know I'm looking at your face, and you say, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I'm telling you, it's so abrupt. And it's an abrupt message. Don't miss it. Don't miss the best part. Don't just take this lightly. Don't just think because you read John 3:16 and you know all this thing about my wonderful Son. Let these words be alive and real to you. This book of 1 John is high calling all over it. Don't take it lightly. I'm going into depth in this to show you about my Son, to show you about His love, how we need to love one another with that love, that this is the family that settles down in love, that comes into that knowledge as we come together and rejoice that, praise God, there is going to be a marriage of the Lamb. And His wife hath made herself ready. So what He's saying here is, little children, stay away from anything that comes between you and God's perfect will. Or you're never going to grow up. As I was thinking about this in closing, I was thinking about how my dad, and I talk about my wife because she's not here tonight either. Boy, pray for pastor's family. No. And please do. but no, they're I believe right where God wants them to be tonight. But I remember how Daddy used to say when I got married. And I'd forget, it was either a couple days before I got married or whatever. And he'd remind me ever so often afterwards. That's your best friend, son. That's your confidant, son. That's who you dwell with, son. At night when you want to go out, that's who you go out with, son. You're one. And you know what? He's right. And he's so right. And I am thankful I'm so in love with my wife. But this is about being in love with Jesus. That there's nothing that comes between that, brothers and sisters. That it's the intimacy of intimacies. That even though I might not feel like that someday, and now take it, you ones that are married, you know what I'm talking about. Why do you go to work every day, huh, brother? Huh, brother? By the grace of God. But you know that's the right thing. You work hard for your family. You might not feel like it that day, but you know what? There's a love. And you know that that's the will of God. And you know what? That's the will of God. And then He turns that will into joy unspeakable and full of glory and such thankfulness every day as I get up and I say, Jesus, thank You for loving me. Praise Your name that You love me. Thank God that it's not a life of wood, hay, and stubble. That it's silver and gold and precious stone that You're building in my life. Make it count. Redeem the time. Monumental times, brothers and sisters. And this is it. Today, this moment is the most because Jesus could come. And that's what's so important. That's what I'm starting to realize. This world says, oh, live it like it's your last day. Live it like you're about ready to step into glory. Because your day hadn't even started yet. It's going to be wonderful, brothers and sisters. And God is calling us to that. And it will be worth it all. But we need to have the vision right now of thankfulness, gratefulness, the loving God that loves us so, that causes our heart to joy in it. In whatsoever state. What do you think? Amen? All right, let's stand.